Father God, in Jesus' name, I declare, Holy Spirit, Lord, over my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. Father God, I declare, Holy Spirit, Lord, over my body. Father God, I declare, Holy Spirit, Lord, over this day, this church, this region, this nation, and this world, in Jesus' name, I declare, Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah! Woo! Father God, your Bible says where the Holy Spirit is declared Lord, is Lord, there is liberty. Father God, you said, we thank you, Lord God, because of the liberty, because of the lordship of Holy Spirit, that we will have signs and wonders and miracles and healings. We thank you because of the liberty that is established because of the lordship of Holy Spirit, that we will have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel and might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord would be in and on and working through us. In Jesus' mighty name. Anybody remotely agrees with that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You guys are alive and well in Australia. It's such an honor to be here. I just want my last thank you to this congregation until next week. But I just say thank you so much. Honored, so honored to be with your leadership. Thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your humor. Thank you so much for, I won the second game in pool. Thank you very much, Joshua. but just a great joy to be with you. And can you say one third
of the kingdom
is joy? When you're out in the community, can you look in the mirror before you go out and just say, tell your face. Praise the Lord. Let's do that. Turn to your neighbor. Say one third of the kingdom is joy. Tell your face. Hallelujah. Whoever has not been here, hi, my name is Barry Miracle. I come from Canada. My wonderful, beautiful wife, Tammy, and Sarah are with me. We have four other children back home. And apparently, Brandon thought it was okay to go on a boat and leave my daughter, 11-year-old daughter, at home. He thought that was okay. But, you know, if you're listening, I love you, son, and we'll deal with you when we get home. But she's alive. According to Canadian law, you're allowed to leave a child alone, but not Abigail, okay? Not Abigail. I just thank God the neighborhood's still up, not just the house. No, she's wonderful. She's just creative. There's all kinds of crafts that could end up in an explosion. And then he had the audacity to leave my son Caleb there with her. Well, Caleb is a bit of a hunter-gatherer explosioner. He's native, yeah. We're having a prayer meeting one day, and Caleb thought it would be a great idea. We have this beautiful cherry tree that's kind of, you know, losing its ground, and it's slightly decaying, but it still had a lot of life in it, so we're leaving it up, and plus it costs like $2,500 to take it down. But Caleb thought it would be a great idea to put firecrackers in the midst of the tree. This is who Brandon leaves to babysit Abigail. So Tammy, Caleb lights off the firecrackers in the tree, and why would you think this? Smoke's coming out of the tree. He thought it was a great idea. He comes in, Mom, There's smoke coming out of the tree. Oh, he didn't. Okay, why don't you two come on up here? Oh, don't give me that. Come on up, ladies. Is there a mic here?
She's yours.
Hello. Is there a mic? Tony. Oh, thanks, Tony. Give Tony a hand. So anyway, he didn't tell you what happened?
I noticed the smoke coming from
the
tree,
smoke. Okay, good.
Like minutes before people started coming in. So I said to him, you better pray good and hard. So we were running out and hosing the tree down. And he was wise. He's like, just don't tell Dad, let me tell Dad, because it'll go a lot easier.
After
the prayer meeting. So the tree is still standing. He became quite an intercessor that night.
Yeah, I remember.
And when I called him by his Mohawk name, he came running. And and he's like, oh no, the tree. And so he confessed his sins and... Yes, he's learned not to light firecrackers off.
In trees.
Yes. Yes, in dead trees.
Dead trees.
Anyway, yes.
Anyway, amen. Do you want to just give greetings? And?
Okay, yeah, sure. So on that note, that's such a great note to start.
Yeah, there you go. There's your segue.
I just want to say thank you for having us come. It's been a real pleasure and a blessing to come. And when our church was sending us out and they were praying over us, they had said that not only would we deposit something, but we would receive something to bring back.
Amen.
And last night, Mr. Alley, as you were talking about the eldership and the city eldership, and that just kind of resounded in my spirit. And I'm looking forward to Australia setting that template of the city gates being kept again. But I'm also looking forward to going home and beginning to pray about that for our nation, that we could see that shift and change. Because so often we deal with things in the spirit, but that's like the ground level. That fixes everything. Mm-hmm. And so I just am really excited. I know there's lots more we've received, and we'll receive a lot more before we go home.
Amen.
But in my spirit, as you were speaking about it, I was like, this is that. You know? And so I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your wisdom. And just that we can see those our nations restored to what it is that God has for them in our cities, and deal with a lot of our minor issues that we deal with in prayer. They'll just all be settled when the city gates are restored.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah. This is my daughter, Sarah.
Good. Just to go off what my mom had said, when we were flying here, I had a vision of Australia, and I forgot about it, which is kind of funny. And but I was going through my book, and I had remembered, as we were actually, like, literally flying over Australia, I saw your land, like, be picked up and rolled like a megaphone. Is that what you would call it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just rolled up, and it was blowing to the nations of the world.
Wow.
And I just really want to just declare this morning that your nation will be like a sound breaker to the nations, that what you say and what you do will go far and will be blessed.
Amen.
And it will prosper in the nations of the world.
Wow.
And you're going to have a great voice to what happens even governmentally around the world, even though that doesn't make sense because all governments are different. You're going to have that.
Wow.
And so I love it here. It's been fun.
Amen.
I just need to do a few quick words of knowledge.
Absolutely.
Can we say somebody's going to get healed today?
Somebody's going to get healed today.
And it may be you. No, well, actually, I don't know. Has anybody ever heard the saying that expectancy is the breeding ground for the miraculous?
Yes.
That saying? Awesome, phew. That was a close one. I wasn't sure if the... Yeah,
that's
awesome.
I'm here for you.
But I just want to share another quick key, that obedience is another key to drawing your miracle to you.
Come on.
And being obedient to what God's asking you to do, to being obedient to what God's asking you to sow. You know, we don't always like to do those things, to being obedient to God, because it's not always the easiest. But I want to tell you, it will draw your breakthrough to you. It'll force it out of the hands of the enemy, and it'll turn up at your front door because you are obedient to what God's asking you to do.
Irresistible.
Hallelujah. And so, just to start off, is there anybody having pain, like, right on their neck, kind of down into their shoulders? Yeah.
Drum.
If that's you, stand up.
Street, yeah.
Because it can be many. Walk into that healing. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hey, right off the get-go here, Whenever the words of knowledge begin to operate in a room, you need to know that the anointing for healing is in the room. So you begin to pull on your yes. own healing, even if you're not called for it. The anointing for healing is present to heal, okay? So just begin to pull on your own healing. But these ones are specified.
Amen. And I just want you to put your hands up like this, and we're going to receive because you're getting healed today. And that's Amen. The end of the story. I don't take half healings. I like complete healings. So in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, pain, and I say, come off these necks. God, I speak in alignment to every muscle, tendon, and bone right now in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. A loosening anointing that pain must find another place to go that's not their body in the name of Jesus. I speak alignment.
Alignment.
Now.
In Jesus' name.
Just begin to move your necks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As you get healed, maybe raise your hand. So.
Yeah. How many people were, amen, thank you, Lord. How many people, it was a automobile accident or an accident that this happened? One, two, three. I speak to the spirit of infirmity that is inset into your neck area that is secretly set in there and came under the guise of a natural accident. And I speak to you right now, spirit of infirmity, shut your mouth, let loose your claws. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against you, and I command you to come off. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the healing anointing just going into everybody's neck right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
So somebody here with hearing aids. Hearing aids. Nobody's got hearing aids?
Hearing aids.
Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. I had heard the word hearing aids, and then I also heard reversing the curse. That it's about to be reversed. All of a sudden, you're going to begin to start hearing a little bit better and a little bit better. And next thing you know, you don't have to wear them anymore. And it's a reversal that the very thing that the enemy tried to take against you, today it stops and it's about to go backwards.
Amen.
That you will be able to hear so clear, it's even going to bother you to hear your own voice. And I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
So crystal clear. So just put your hands on your ears. In the name of Jesus, I speak an opening.
Jesus' name.
Healed, 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 healed in the name of Jesus. They'll be able to hear better than they ever could or Amen. Every thought was even possible. Amen. God, I thank Ooh. You that this will be even something greater in the spiritual realm, that their ears will be so in tune to what you're doing, God. Even in the midst of confusion, God, I thank you that they'll be able to hear with such accuracy.
Wow.
But that if it happens in the spiritual, it'll happen in the natural.
Hmm.
And right now, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You good?
Okay, we got one more.
We got one more.
I was sitting over there and just praying as worship was going on, and I heard the word promotion. Okay? And we talk about, like, we all want to promote in God, but I really believe there's some people here who you almost don't believe you can have a promotion. It's almost like I'm satisfied. And what I do is good, and I actually don't mind it, and that's great, and I love that you love what you do. But I just hear God saying that it's promotion time, and that he wants to bless you, but you have to want his blessing. And so I just really believe in this place today, God's just moving on some hearts to even be able to believe more, even to be able to dream bigger.
Yeah.
And to even think that some things that looked impossible will become possible.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so just add your faith to that. If you want a promotion this morning, and whether it's in your job or maybe it's a promotion, it could be with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then just place your hands out. I'm not going to get anybody to stand up. But if you want a promotion, yeah, hello, I want a promotion too. Then I'm just going to pray, and we're going to draw on that kingdom faith to believe bigger than what's in front of us. So, God, we just come before you today. God, I thank you that you are a God of many blessings and the great things, God. I thank you today, God, that you want to move in amongst us with promotion, God. And we say we want your promotion. We want your promotion even when it looks like change, God. Even when it looks like we're not in control, God. I just say, God, today as a group of people, as your body, that we want the promotion of your kingdom.
Yeah.
God, we want to do your work. So God, I thank you for the promotion that's beginning to move in their hearts, God. I thank you for doors opening, divine connections coming, God. So even strongholds being broken, God, so that they can run fast. God, I thank you that you're a God of great promotion. And we just call that down in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can you give Sarah and the Holy Spirit a hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just, along with that, Sarah, I just want to add this. I break the spirit of hope deferred. Jay, step out into the aisle. Stop. Back up a foot. Thank you. Take three steps forward. I break the containment. No more hope deferred. No more yin and yang. No more good than bad than good than bad than bad than good. But this is the beginning of a new season. I break the spirit of hope deferred. I break the spirit of hope deferred. You do not belong to yin and yang. There is no equal part good and equal part bad. There is only a great big God and an itty bitty devil. That you missed a place for a good amen. Thank you. The amen corner over there. Hallelujah. Every pain, just stay there and just soak it up. Yeah, amen. I'll just walk around you. I might hit your head once or twice, but don't worry about it. God will heal you later. Every pain and every problem, can you hear me this morning? Can you hear me this morning? It's a question. Every pain and every problem must have a payday. Everything you walk through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not building a domicile. I'm not building a dwelling place. I'm not looking for my comfort in the midst of my problem. I do not get comfortable with my opposition. I am walking through it. I am coming. There is a one day where my tribulation shall have a turning point. Every problem and every pain must have a day. You must exact. You must, by your faith, exact the grace in the midst of the problem. In every problem, in every pain, in everything that you go through, there is a greater grace waiting for you. The Bible says that the king sits enthroned on the flood, king forevermore. The Lord sits on the flood, and he sits enthroned as king forevermore. What does that mean? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit raises up a standard. Can you hear me this morning? Whenever the enemy is coming in at you like a flood, every time that the barrage of the enemy is coming against you, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are enthroned on that very opposition, waiting for you to call on the name of the Lord, and he will come in with greater authority, greater power, greater sustenance, greater strength than you will ever need for that current situation you're in. Point in case, scripture. Jesus is coming down from the mountain. The waves are crashing. The disciples are out on a boat. And the boat starts taking on water, and they don't know what to do. And then Jesus comes walking on the water. The word, the answer, comes walking on the water. And the Bible says it was as if Jesus was going to walk on by. He was walking on the flood of their circumstance, walking by. He was enthroned on the water. He was enthroned on the flood. But Peter still had to call on the name of Jesus. In the midst of your problems, There's a greater grace waiting for you. I'm not going there today, but you need to understand. Opposition plus God equals opportunity. Every time you are presented with an opposition in your life, it's nothing more than an opportunity for your advancement. I'm sorry, this is so boring. I'm just teasing. I know you're thinking. Every time the enemy comes against you, he's paying your way forward, and he does not. If he knew that killing the Son of God would have done what happened, oh, I want to tell you, he would have bought a life insurance. He would have not like he would have, like medical plans. He would have done everything he could. He would have put IV. He would have it would have everything to keep him alive. Had he only known. When you get the revelation, that every pain and every problem has a payday, in the midst of your greatest opposition is the place you're going to find your greatest treasure. He hides treasure in the midst of darkness, thinking, knowing that you're going to have the audacity in the midst of your problem to go in the midst of chaos and bring forth order. He's hiding things for you, not from you. He's hiding things for you, not from you. He's hiding things from the enemy in the midst of the darkness. He hid Jesus in Egypt. He hid Moses in this. Egypt is a representation of darkness back in the Bible. He hid his best treasures in the darkest places. Let me give you just a snippet of next week. When Jesus reached the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter stands up and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I'll expand that a little bit next week. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Where Jesus reveals this greatest revelation of who he was, a year and a half into his ministry of 3.5 years, he's a year and a half in, and he's revealing that he's the Christ. He reveals it in the place called Caesarea Philippi, in the northern part of Israel, on the base of Mount Hermes, the place of the greatest occultic activity of the day, where the god Pan was worshipped, half goat, half man, the god of commerce and the god of fear and panic, and they used to throw babies into the gate of hell that was there in the midst of the mountain. It was actually called the gate of hell. Jesus shows up in that place, the greatest treasure to ever be known to mankind, the Christ, the Son of the living God, was revealed in the darkest places. Do not ever fear what you're going through. Rejoice and take great joy when you fall into divers temptations and when people are speaking all manner of evil against you, because guess what? If you can handle it, if you can stand and all things stand, you're about to be advanced and propelled into greater things that you would not have had the opportunity had the problem not come your way. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? This totally disarms the enemy. One of my good friends and a spiritual father and an organization I'm ordained with, Jeff Johns, he shared one day, he says, on my darkest moments, sometimes I don't rebuke the darkness. Sometimes I don't rebuke the devil. Sometimes I don't take authority over the demonic forces. I just sit down, knowing who I am in Christ, knowing that I'm the ruler and the reigner, that I'm the principality and power of light. Have you ever thought of it? You are the principality and power of light in your sphere of influence. Nobody outranks you. In your sphere of influence, in your area, in your mountain, in your promised land, in your house, you are the ruling and ranking authority. So when the devil comes on my territory and he's attacking me, I just sit down sometimes and look around. Oh, you might take a lump or something like that, but that's okay. Like Don Cherry says, the great Canadian back home, he says, cuts heal. We can't be sissified Christians. That was kind of funny. I was hoping for a little more response. That's okay. I can go on. We can't be wimpy. You are in an army, and you are well able, and you are anointed, and all power of creation lives on the inside of you. So sometimes you just need to grab a seat and look around and see the treasures that were intended for you. Yes. 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 Amen. That has nothing to do with my message, except that's an awesome revelation. Hallelujah. I am a Mohawk native. I grew up in a native territory in Ontario called Tyendinaga. It's actually Tyendinaka. But everybody anglicized it, and it's Tyendinaga now. It means where the two logs come together. And I think, let's do two logs like this. Hallelujah. My grandfather was the first Native ordained by the Assemblies of God back in the early 1900s. And my children are fifth-generation Spirit-filled believers. And I am so thankful. Hallelujah. It's the greatest treasure. Salvation, restoration is the greatest gift to mankind. Amen? Hallelujah. But this is, amen, thank you. This is an album that I sang on. I won't do it today. But it's Mohawk hymns. I gave one to David and to the Allies. And I have one here. It's Mohawk's hymns. So sang by my uncles and myself and a couple of my cousins. But is anybody interested in it at all? Okay. Okay, Lord, protect them. They hit anybody in the head? I hit you in the head? I was aiming for your head. I was just kidding. This is the first album that my uncle Jonathan produced. It's called Mighty Warrior. And Mighty Warrior, this is your formal birthday gift.
Oh, thank you. And I like your Uncle Jonathan.
Yes.
I haven't met him yet.
Yeah. But he's handsome and striking.
Yeah, no, good looking.
Yes,
I like the guy.
Yeah, he looks like me.
He got a great set of feathers. Yeah, look at that.
Look at those feathers. Those are amen. And I have one more. Bring this back to South Africa. Amen. Okay. Now, John said I only had 2 hours this time, so we have to speed up with things. No, he didn't say that. That was a lie. Thank God for mercy and grace. Amen. Okay, this is, I don't know if there's 100 or 150 or something handouts, but if you could come and get one of these, or we can pass them out at the end of the service, I'll just leave them up here. But it'll be effective for you and just reminding you of some points that I'm going to share this morning on prayer. The Bible says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. There's power that is in us that needs to come out of us. Amen? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory, but it's Christ on me and working through me that is the hope of all the nations. Amen? That we have this great gift. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, that same spirit shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That it's just not living inside of us. It's just not, Holy Spirit is not just in us to regenerate us inwardly, but he's in us to come out of us. And the way we tap into the power and bring it forth is by prayer. Amen? I was praying the other day. And it was going really quite good. I was telling the Lord that I didn't gossip. I didn't operate in the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. And I was going on and waxing eloquent. And I said, Lord, I'm about to get out of bed. So I'm going to need your help for the rest of the day. Okay, I was praying in the morning. And I was about to get out of bed. Thank you, over there, thank you. As the storm was raging, the captain of the ship knew his ship was sinking, and it was sinking fast. So he called out, "Does anyone here know how to pray?" One man steps forward and says, "Aye, captain, I sure knows how to pray." I think he was a pirate, I'm not sure. He says, good. The captain says, good. You pray while the rest of us put on the life jackets. We're short one. But we have a lot of people have a negative connotation of prayer, or it's like in the gridiron, we call it a Hail Mary. And you just like hope this works. And you throw out this prayer. Yeah, God help! The name of my message this morning is Teach Us to Pray. In these teachings, and I'm going to try to stay to my notes. Say, Father God, help him. Most of our time we're going to be spending in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. But this teaching is the whole chapter of Luke chapter 11 is dealing with the topic of prayer. But we're going to deal with just the first four verses this morning. And I'm just going to turn. You might as well turn there and get ready. So we can go fast and furious. Because I have about three sessions I'm going to cover in 45 minutes. 2-3 hours, give or take 6 hours. This is, we've often called this the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the prayer that he taught his disciples and teaching generations forward. The Lord's Prayer is actually found in John chapter 17, where he prays to the Father not to take them out of the world, not to rapture out of the world, just throwing a little eschatology in there, but to keep them in the midst of chaos because of the power that we will understand and get the revelation of that we are to change our world. Say, I come on, say, I have been placed in chaos to bring forth order. The teachings are going to be broke down in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, some things on foundations and backgrounds of effective prayer, Luke 11, 2 through 4, the guidelines of how to pray and the different forms of prayer. Then Luke 5, we won't reach this morning, but Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10 deals with the posture and the passion in prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 deals with the realization and the act of standing and in all things standing and seeing the deliverance of the Lord according to your prayers. Amen? So you can do a study on that yourself. Here's my disclaimer. These teachings are not to heap condemnation on anyone. These teachings are to bring freedom and liberty to your life. If we can get you to expand your relationship with God and begin to see more results from prayer times, then I will be happy and I will have accomplished my goal. So I don't say I will not receive condemnation. This is another disclaimer. Say, I will hear what Barry is saying, and the Spirit is saying, and not what he's not saying. Amen? Okay. You confess with your mouth. You can't give me a hassle later. I have a binding contract. Foundations and backdrop for prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says the effectual prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much. The effectual prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much. The effectual, say effectual. It's effectual prayers. It's just not prayers. It's just not repeating. It's just not mantra. It's effectual. Faith added to your words, prayer. First thing we need to know is that prayer is effective and powerful. We don't want to waste time while we are going to God. We want to be the most effective we possibly can in our moments with Him. Is this a fair statement, that we would like to have the most effective time we can possibly ever have in spending time in the presence and accomplish much? That's a true, yay. These teachings are to help to give some direction to how to communicate in prayer with maximum effectiveness. Although this is not an exhaustive study, I think if applied, these lessons can dramatically change your prayer life and hence change everything else that pertains to your life. A defining question for prayer and on prayer. I've talked to many intercessors across the world and in different places and asked the question that needs to be asked. What is the litmus test for praying? What is it? And this is an answer. You have joy and you have peace when you come out. If you do not have joy or peace, what were you doing for your 3.5 minutes? Just kidding. What were you doing for your half an hour or 45 minutes or hour? Who were you spending your time with, yourself or somebody else? A lot of times we spend our prayer time in telling God how bad our situation is. Newsflash, He knows. Amen? You don't need to tell Him about your mountain. What you behold is what you become. What you spend time looking at, you'll begin to worship. What you spend time with, what you spend time, say spend time. You're spending your time. What you spend time with, you are paying homage to. What you pay homage to, you are worshiping. And what you worship is what you become. That's why God is calling for us to worship Him. It's not because He's insecure and wringing His hands and saying, well, I wish somebody would just love me. He does not need your praise, but we need to praise Him. We need. He ordained praise for your enemy's sake. That's another topic. So don't spend time. We don't want to spend time focusing on our problems. We want to spend time glorifying Him and speaking the answer. We need to be answer-oriented and solution, answer-driven and solution-oriented. We are the answer to this world, and we have the good news. We are not the problem with the bad news. The world knows how bad they are. You know how bad you were. We don't need to rehearse the curse. We need to preach the answer. We need to pray the answer. We need to pray the solution. Yes, we do. A premise or foundation to prayer. Prayer is a privilege and not an obligation. It's not so much a duty to pray as much as it is our privilege. We don't have to, we get to. Just a slight change in our attitude. Just think of the creator of the universe is calling you to come to him and spend intimate time as a close friend and maybe even a son or a daughter. We need to think of it as if the Queen of England was showing up, or the President of the United States, or the, and maybe a lot of us might not. Anyway, I'll just let that one go. That was a joke for my Republican friends. We bless the President of the United States. In Jesus, I'm just, all kidding aside. And we pray for our leaders. Amen. Or maybe the Prime Minister, is it a Prime Minister of Australia? Maybe he's, you know, asking for your company. A lot of us, or maybe a famous movie star, or somebody wants to go hang out. Somebody of fame and renown. It's not a, I have to go. It's, I have a privilege. And the creator of the universe, the all-powerful one, on a daily basis, will you come unto me and I will. It's a privilege. It's a get to. Amen. Effective prayer. Everybody have Luke chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 1. It reads, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place. Can somebody say certain place? After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. When Jesus was praying in a certain place. When Jesus was praying in a certain place. The Bible makes several references to Jesus going to the synagogue to worship, because this was his practice. The synagogue that Jesus would go to, he called them a house of prayer. Jesus says his house shall be called a house of prayer. The church is a house of prayer. And all the intercessors, Jenny says amen. This is found in Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? Jesus said that his house, synagogue, or church shall be called a house of prayer, not a training center, not a healing house, or not a myriad of other things that we do that have become synonymous with church life. No, he said his house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Do we do training? Yes, we do. Is it a healing house? Yes, it is. Is it a hospital? Yes, it is. Is it a place of delight? Yes, it is. But primarily, it's a house called prayer. I'm not taking away from the fact that we have become the church, and the value of buildings is not close to the value that we put on people. But there is something that we need to recognize. That Jesus had a great respect for the house of the Lord. Point in case, Mark chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, and then further into verse 17, where he calls, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My desire is for you this morning is that we would get back to the place called the house of prayer. That we would take on the anointing of prayer, that we would begin to make prayer a priority in our lives. Nothing moves unless something is declared. There are certain practices or traditions that are good and are of God. There are godly practices and principles that we need to embrace. If it's good for the master, it's good for me. Amen. In developing a prayer life, a good suggestion is to find a certain place to pray. It may be your favorite chair, perhaps your bedroom, the forest, or kitchen table, etc., etc. Your certain place may not be a particular place as much as a state of mind. Jesus would pull away to a mountain or the wilderness or out into a boat. What Jesus was doing was getting to a place of peace where he could communicate without hindrance from outside sources. Once you find this certain place, you'll be able to make this your secret place with you and the master of the universe. The devil will continually come to you and say to you that you're not worthy. The master doesn't have time for you. Shut up and sit down. And you must stand up boldly and say, no. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This is something important you need to know in the midst of prayer. This statement, in the midst of quantity, you shall find quality. If you don't see it happening, if you don't see things moving, if you're not feeling the chills and the spills and the thrills, just keep going. Have discipline. Be persistent and consistent. Persistency and consistency are the power twins for your breakthrough. So now that we found our secret place, our certain place, we can learn how to effectively pray. Say this after me, saying, okay, the other 100 people in the room, saying is praying. The definition of the word prayer is asking. The most common word used for prayer in the original Greek is prosu komai. Okay, somebody tell me that back. Oh, very good. It is a special term describing an invocation, a request, an entreaty. In the King James Version, it is used 90 times, and in the New American Standard, it's used 87 times, almost three times more than any other word describing prayer is this prayer of asking. But prayer has often taken on a larger scope than its original definition. And when we are talking about prayer or the topic of praying, we are actually meaning something slightly different, and that word is communication. Prayer, for a large part, has become the act of communicating with God, where we don't only speak, but we spend time to listen and then hopefully obey what we are hearing. But while we are learning about the foundations of prayer, we need to get back to what Jesus originally taught concerning prayer. Going down to Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and the second part, the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray. The disciples asked Jesus if he would teach them how to pray. The very first thing that Jesus teaches is Luke chapter 11, verse 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. This is a huge key when you are trying to get some answers from heaven. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, it says, the intentions of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue comes from the Lord. The intentions of the heart are of man, but your answers come because of your tongue from the Lord. Praying works. You just have to do it God's way. And his way is when you pray, you need to say. If you're not praying, if you're not saying, you're not praying. Okay? If you're not saying, you're not praying. You might say, I like to do silent prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing. Biblically, there's no such thing. Now, you may be meditating and thinking or prayer thoughts. And this is all good. Prayer thoughts are good. Meditating is on the scriptures is good. The Bible says dwell and meditate on whatsoever is good and pure and holy, anything excellent or praiseworthy. These are the things that we dwell upon. But that is not praying. That is meditating. That is stirring yourself up. That is effective and powerful. But when you want answers and to draw from the deposit of Holy Ghost, you need to declare it. When you pray, you must say. saying is what we do because that's what God does. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Can I keep going? Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? Yes. Amen. When you have it, say amen. I'll just assume that you have it. God opens up by creating the solar system, the preparation of the land for habitation, and the creation of life. All, can you hear me? Say, Father God, help me to hear what the Spirit is saying. I take authority over every vain imagination and every distraction of the enemy, and I cast it down now. Help me, Dad. I'm going to say that again. God opens up by creating the solar system, the preparation of the land for habitation, and the creation of life. All of these eight acts of creation he did in 6 days. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Holy Spirit is hovering over that which was tohu and without form and bohu without void. With void. Actually, just void. Without form and void. Tohu and bohu. The tohu and the bohu, the Hebrew word tohu and its rhyming synonym bohu, are coupled to describe a scene of disorder, confusion, and a formless mess. Tohu without form refers to a howling wasteland, a trackless wilderness, a scene of utter disarray, desolation, and barrenness. It also suggests a place of sheer emptiness as opposed to order and balance. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Then God said." Then God said. Then God said. Then God said. In the midst of the howling wasteland, in the midst of emptiness, in the midst of nothing, God shows up and God then said. I don't know about you, but that just lights my fire. Not one in the middle of my tree by fireworks, but a little different one. God brought order in the midst of complete chaos by speaking words, and so can you. I know you know this, but you don't know this. You know how I know this, that you don't know this? Because I know this. Because you would be creating things by the power of your words if we really believed it. When you leave here this morning, I want you to be on a journey of understanding the greatness of God in you, and that you are created like God and according in his image and according to his likeness. God would say this declaration, "Then God said," 8 times in creation. And on the 8th declaration, the Bible states that God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness." According to our likeness. 8 is the number of new beginnings. God was starting a new chapter in his dream. God is a speaking spirit, and he created us to be another speaking spirit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says the worlds were made by the word of God. The worlds were made by the word of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and nothing was made except that it was made by the word. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I'm trying to move quickly, because there's some things we need to get to this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Let it be even according to your word. This overshadowing is the same as the glory cloud that overshadowed the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, in which God spoke out of. Similar situation where the Holy Spirit overshadowed the deep and the Father spoke. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and the Father spoke. And Jesus, the Word, became implanted in the womb by a word. 1 John 4:17 says in the part B, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. Say me. As he is, so am me. English teachers are like cringing. Me and we rhymes better, though. Can we fathom? Can I rest your minds today and fathom this awesome revelation according to his word that we are supposed to be exactly like God in this world? The very same way that Jesus operated here on the earth, we are to operate. The same modus of operandi, the mode of operation that God the Father used and Jesus used, so we should and can use. Chapter 11, verses 12 through 24. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. You need to read it yourself. And he says in verse 14, he said, to it may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Jesus is walking up. He sees the fig tree. The fig tree has leaves, meaning there should have been figs. Even though it wasn't fig season, it had leaves, so it should have had figs, according to biology. He walks up, and there's no figs. So he says, may no one eat from you. May you never bear fruit. The master of the universe shows up and wants some fruit, and there was none. So he speaks, and the disciples didn't see anything happen to the fig tree till later in Mark chapter 11, verse 14. Sometimes when you pray, sometimes when you speak, sometimes when you ask, you may not see anything happening right away. This is not the time to quit, but rather it's time to stand and believe. Believe in what? Believe that your words have power and are working just like they are supposed to. Amen? Because the words that you speak, the words that you spoke when you prayed are going to the root of the matter, which can't easily and readily be seen because our roots are below the surface. A lot of times you can't see what is happening when you pray. Don't allow yourself to walk in doubt because you're not seeing immediate or instant results. We are so culturally indoctrinated. We are culturally conditioned. This culture of instant gratification has most people intoxicated and indoctrinated that we feel less than, or we do not aren't achieving, or perhaps we are failing if we are not seeing an immediate happen. Mark 11, 23, for surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. He will have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatever he says. Saying is praying. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Say, my potential is great. God is not moved by a word you do not believe. And the devil will not stop by a prayer you don't believe. You have to add your faith to your words. Isaiah 55, 11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. The Lord says that his word will not return to him void, but his word will accomplish. James 5, 16 says that if you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that your prayers or your words could accomplish much. Your words matter. Your words matter. As God's words accomplish, so do your words. As God's words accomplish, so do your words. They accomplish. You will eat the fruit of your lips. Whatever you are speaking, life and death is in the power of your tongue. If you declare life, you shall have life. If you declare death, you shall have death. Your words matter. Once again, I have this little bit of a long exhortation from Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to tell you just briefly. Daniel prayed to the Lord. The Bible says he waited 21 days. And finally, lo, Michael the archangel shows up. And this is what he says. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for the very first day that you set your heart to on understanding and this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. The angelic realm will come in response to a man or woman of God who has faith and goes to God and declares. The Bible says that he sends his angels to accomplish his words that come out of his saints. So for maximum effectiveness in our prayer life, remember, when you pray, you got to say. So one of the most effective forms of praying is praying the word out of your heart that you have put in abundantly into your heart. I went at a little bit of length, a discourse a couple of nights ago, and I said to you, the reason why I have you repeat after me is not because I don't have something extra to say and I have to make up some space because I don't have enough prepared. I say it and I have you repeat it because you need to use your tongue to be a ready writer like David said of David. And he writes on the tablets of his heart the promises of God. And when you write on the tablets of your heart, the promises of God and the good words from the Lord, and then they get written on your heart, then you speak them out of your heart. When you speak the word out of your heart, It just can't be out of your mind. It just can't be a regurgitation of a message that you heard from the apostle, or you just regurgitating something I said. You need to rehearse it. You need to dwell on it. But you need to add your faith with it and declare it and watch mountains move. When you speak the word of God back to God, it will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which it's sent. God in turn sends his angels to accomplish his word. Side note, this is why we need to be into the word. Whether reading the Bible, strongly suggested, or listening to messages in church, in conferences, that's why you're having this summit. You need to hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by. You want to increase, you need to hear. And it's not talking about just getting your Bible. And maybe I spoke out of turn, that's maybe not why you're having this summit, but that's one of the reasons why we gather, is that we hear the word of the Lord. When you hear the word of the Lord, it clears your hearing. Because in the chapter that it's talking in there, it's the preached, proclaimed word of faith that we preach. That's the word it's talking about. You don't increase your, and your hearing doesn't get cleared by you just reading the Bible. You get it, you have to get underneath the anointing teaching or the anointed preaching for your hearing to be cleared. It's very important. That's why you have to go buy all those tapes. That's why you got to buy all those DVDs. It's because you need to get underneath the spoken, proclaimed word of God, because it clears your hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing what God is saying. You need to hear what God is saying. But if your hearing is clogged, you need to be cleaned out by the preached word of God. In conclusion, on the foundations of prayer, before we begin to build anything of the important topic of prayer, we need to deal with that your deliverance is in your mouth. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of God, and I spoke this the other night, but it bears worth repeating. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. The Hebrew word for matter is dabar, or it's actually spelled davar, but you pronounce it dabar. It means spoken word. It is the glory of God to conceal a spoken word, but it is the glory of the king. You are kings and priests in this new kingdom. Did you know that? It is your glory to dig out a spoken word. And you dig that out in your prayer time. Isaiah chapter 48, verses 6 and 7. You have heard, see all this, and will not declare it. I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. God is trying to get his people to say a now word in partnership with him, creating something that never was, and even revealing a hidden thing. This is absolutely crazy, but you are a co-heir with the creator of the universe. The enemy is always trying to get you to keep, he's trying to keep you from praying, speaking or crying out, because the enemy of your soul knows how powerful the declared word is that comes out from your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. The revelation that's coming and has been coming out of your pastor and your apostle is to change your mind. The supernatural flows through a transformed mind. We got to change the way we think. You got to get rid of your stinking thinking. Because if you think what you've always thought, you're going to get what you've always got. We have to change the way we think. We have to change, and we must have the mind of Christ concerning who we are. You need to know that the creator of the universe dwells on the inside of you, and he wants to come out of you. But you will not pull him into this realm by just having an hour or so of praise on Sunday morning and maybe a youth group or maybe a fellowship group or whatever. You got to consistently and persistently go before him. No condemnation. You get to. It's glorious. I was so bummed out that I had to come and hang out with you the other day. Because I meant I had to leave my prayer time with the Lord. Once again, hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. It was glorious when I got here, but I was having such a wonderful time with him. I had to pull myself away. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Second part is praise. Maybe bummed out was a bit strong word. Do you get my point, though? Amen. Praise. Luke chapter 11, verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. As you begin declaring and the greatness of God and worshiping the Father in heaven, your atmosphere begins to change. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 34, that the Father is looking for true worshipers, those that worship in spirit and in truth. The Bible is in Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, also says that he, the Lord, is enthroned on the praise of his people. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 68, verse 1, so let God arise and his enemies shall be scattered. I like to say this, let God arise and his enemies shall be splattered. But it's not scriptural because he does not want them to be splattered. He wants them to be scattered. When you begin to praise God, the fear of the Lord begins to come upon them and they get scattered and it goes throughout all of darkness with a reverberation that the saints of God are beginning to possess the kingdom. God said that he ordained praise for the sake of your enemies. Why does he command us to praise him? Is it because he's so insecure about himself that he continually needs somebody to positively reinforce him? If he can get you to praise him, that he gets to come and make your enemies his footstool. That something happens when you begin to truly worship him in spirit and truth. That a portal opens up from heaven because of the authority of your words out of your mouth. And he comes in and begins to melt your mountains like wax. If you don't get a chance in your prayer time to go anything beyond worshiping him because of time restraints, etc., you'll be okay. He'll be able to remind you through the day and you can make a declaration. But just spend time in his presence, worshiping him. Why? Because by your praise, you set the atmosphere for the day. Because of your praise, you've made Holy Spirit Lord. Why? Because of your praise, you have taken the focus off of everything that you need to do that day and readjust your focus upon him. What you pay attention to, you pay homage to. What you pay homage to, you're actually worshiping. What you worship, you become. What you behold is what you become. As you worship him, we become exactly what we are worshiping. Luke chapter 11, verse 2, part B. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Towards the end of your worship time, it is a good time to begin with the power you have obtained through worship, to begin to call on the kingdom of God to come here on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, that the kingdom of God is within you. Revelation 3:20 says that he stands at the door and he knocks. Psalms 24:7 says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Your mouth is the gate of authority in this realm. Any place in the Bible where you see a gate is always making a reference to a place of authority. At the gate of your city, the mayor and councilman would meet. At the gate of the city is where things come in or things go out. The Bible says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King Jesus shall come in. I said the other night that the Spirit is a doorway to the spiritual realm. The doorway from the spiritual realm to earth. Your spirit is the doorway to the spiritual realm, but also your spirit is the doorway to the physical realm. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says that the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says that if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that same spirit would also quicken you. Begin to pray that the kingdom, the King of glory would come. The Spirit of God and the rivers of living water would begin to flow from heaven through you and into this realm called earth. Our prayers are so powerful and vital that we need, that we have the potential of creating an atmosphere and an environment in our spheres of influence, just like heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have the potential of releasing the kingdom of God into this realm and creating an atmosphere in your household, in your business, in your jobs, in your universities. Everywhere you go, you have the potential of creating a Garden of Eden and a peaceful environment in which people shall live. Your potential is great. Your potential of releasing the kingdom of God is only a declaration and a believing away. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it says, go. It goes on from there and it says, give us this day our daily bread. He commands us to say to the created realms, give to me. He's not a request. It's a demand that you are supposed to rise up in the midst of who you are, in the midst of your spheres of influence, and declare, created realms, give to me what is rightfully mine so that I can accomplish my purpose, the harvest of life. My purpose, my calling, my election, my finances. My daily bread. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. When you go to him and pray, you make a demand. The Bible says, command my hand in this. I'm shifting your mind. I'm shifting your mind. He's not insecure. He's not hurt. He's not wounded. He's not concerned. I know some people are even sitting in here this morning and they're saying, we're supposed to speak like, yes, you are. You need to lay hold of that which has laid hold of you. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is where I'm going to end. It says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I briefly touched on this the other night. And this is a key I want to give to you. The rest I was encouraging. The rest, I want you to know that when you are praying, you are actually saying. If you're not saying, you're not praying. That the enemy wants to keep your mouth shut. He wants you, because he's so afraid if you find out the power that is within you and the power that you have the ability to release into this realm. He is so afraid that he does everything to keep your mouth shut. Keep meditating. Keep dwelling on whatsoever is good and pure. Keep doing all those things. But after you do that, begin to speak it forth and watch God create something. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Tammy and I, at this point, as we would pray together every day, and she would go and get me a cup of coffee, we'd sit up with our pillows propped in our bed. It's so lovely. And we'd say, Father God, forgive us for sins of omission. Things that we don't even know that we're thinking wrong. Give us the grace to repent from wrong thinking. There are things that you are thinking that you are indoctrinated because of your past, because of your hurts and your wounds, that you need to change the way you think. And this is a time in your prayer time that you begin to transform your mind. And then also ask him to forgive you for messing up. But you first have to. You have to say, Father, I forgive those who are trespassing against me, those that are speaking all manner of evil against me. I do not hold it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they don't know that they're cursing their own children up to the fourth generation. Father, have mercy on them. They don't even know what they're doing when they're touching me, Lord God. Have mercy on them. The only thing that's saving them is my prayers that day. Because I know who I am, and because I know who I am, when people say things against me, they begin to be cursed. Because he says, I will curse those that curse you, and I will bless those that bless you. So I am saving my enemies. Amen. But not only that, I don't leave it there. Because I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I'm not going to take the curse words. Tammy and I take authority over those words that are spoken against us. We say, Father, we bless them. We release a grace for them to repent and turn from their wicked ways. We're asking for salvation to enter into their house. But Father God, we do not receive the curse words. We take authority over the curse words. And we take authority over the vain imagination that they're trying to pierce our minds with. And we cast them down in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ against them. But Father God, what we do receive is the grace for the evil of the day. Every time the enemy speaks against you evil, you are about to go to a next level. You begin to say, Father, the Bible says, according to the evil of the day, when the enemy comes in and against you, illegally trespassing upon you, it gives God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit legal accessibility to come into your life with a greater grace than the opposition was presenting. And here it is. Here's the secret that we learned. Father began to tell me, he said, Son, you know how my word does not return to me void, but accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it? Yeah. You know how I dispatch my angels to you and through you and for you to accomplish my word concerning you? You know how I do that, son? I said, yes, sir. He says, the demonic forces, whenever they hear of a curse word, they begin to ride on the curse words, and they try to distribute to my people a destiny that is contrary to their calling, their election, and their purpose. You need to know there are familiar spirits that are trying to infiltrate and trying to reestablish and trying to tie you back into your hereditary curses. And you need to know at this point in the Lord's Prayer that you take authority over those principalities and those powers of darkness and those familiar spirits. You plead the blood of Jesus Christ against them and you command them, get off my stuff. Get off my family. You are not allowed to speak here any longer. Amen. Honey, is this the way we pray? It's the way we pray every day we're together. Since we've been praying this for years now, the clarity of our thought has been clearer than ever before. Am I tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Yes. But it is so distant out into the peripherals that I can hardly hear it at times. It worketh. But you must be persistent. You must be consistent. And you must work with what God has given you. And what I've given to you today will absolutely shift and change your life, your prayer life. We rejuvenate it. The power of God will begin to flow through you. The presence of God will begin to melt your mountains like wax. And the enemy will be having to pay back sevenfold for what he stole. Because then you put an exaction of sevenfold upon the enemy's camp to bring, and you call forth angels to go forth and get what the enemy's stolen from you and bring more, seven times more. And I pray this way, God, I don't want it from your people. I want it only from the enemy's camp. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm done. Anybody get anything? Okay, over here. What is the thing that you got? What is the greatest revelation? Somebody just yell it out over here. What's the greatest revelation you got? I'll come back to you. Too slow. Okay, too slow. Say. Say, is that what you got? Say. Speak it out. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Okay, over here. Oh, too slow. What? Saying is praying. Amen. Take authority over your day. Anymore? What? Be persistent. Command my hand in this. If I'm not saying, I'm not praying. It's a privilege. Over here? Knowing who we are in Christ. God is within us. And he wants desperately to come out of us. Quantity makes quality. They were listening, Pastor. Or Apostle, sorry. Amen? Yeah. Amen back there. What'd you get? Come on, Dan, what'd you get? There's my buddy. Where you been all day? What'd you say? Change the way you think. Get rid of your stinking thinking. Amen. We got to think God's thoughts. If you're going to have God thoughts, you're going to get speak God words. And then you're going to get God results. As he is, so are we in this world. He creates and holds everything together. Can I let you in on a revelation that I heard nobody else ever say in my life? Come back next Sunday. No, I'll tell you. I know what gravity is. Nobody knows what gravity is. I know what gravity is. Everything is created and held together by the power of his word. Amen. Gravity is the word. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to throw this in. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, It's such a wonderful thing. I mean, no respect, disrespect there. He is so wonderful. And if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you, okay, let me just correct this. I believe the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is an unsatisfying desire to praise Him. When you have this desire to praise Him, that goes against what my denomination believes. But I believe a close second to it is speaking in other tongues. And whatever your pastor or whatever apostle believes, believe what he says. But I'm just saying this is what I believe. But what I believe is praying in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to leave it with here. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are praying a thought, which is made out of paragraphs, structures, sentences, and words. Does anybody agree with that? You are praying an actual language. The most important thing that the Father could give to the world was His Son. The most wonderful thing that the Son could give to the world was the Holy Spirit. And this is what Bill Hammond says. He says the most wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit could give to the church was a language. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you need to add your faith to your words, because you need to know when you are speaking words of your heavenly language, it is going back to God. You're praying the mysteries of God. You're releasing the mystery and uploading the mysteries of God into your mind, that you will speak out of intelligence out of your mouth later. But you're opening up the angelic realm that will come and minister to, through, and for you as you pray in the Holy Spirit. This, again, please hear me. This is not condemnation. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it took me about a month and a half when I was 21. I was seeking the Lord for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know it doesn't have to be difficult, but I guess I made it that way. But I'm driving my stepmother's beat up old Honda down Brant Street in Deseronto, Ontario. And I'm listening to John Starnes singing, "My God is Real." And the revelation that God was real, I just went, "Rutubabakatu, Rutaria, Rubarioto." And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But I've never stopped. The thing that has kept me is the fullness of the Spirit. So if I can encourage you with those 2 points on prayer. I know we barely skimmed the surface and I went fast and furious. Please watch the tape and get really what I said. But if I encourage you to pray at least a half an hour of the day in the Holy Spirit, you will completely transform your life. Amen? Amen. Bless you guys. Can I just pray? And then we're going to eat some cake and some sausages and some hallelujah. Father God, thank you for this topic of prayer. Thank you for this great summit. I thank you for this great leadership and these wonderful people, these great people full of you. Father God, I'm asking for the revelation of prayer. I'm asking, Father God, for a desire for your word, a desire to be in your presence, and a desire and an anointing. I release an anointing to pray, an anointing of intimacy, an anointing to declare, an anointing to preach. I pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Can anybody that can agree with that say amen? Amen. Amen.